The Tom Woods Show, episode 2221.
Prepare to set fire to the index card of allowable opinion. Your daily dose of liberty education starts here. The Tom Woods Show.
Come on now, folks. If you ain't going to start that side hustle now, then when? Check out my free ebook, Five Paths to an Online Income, where I take you step by step through five things that I do that keep food on the Woods household table and how you can do them too. Check it out at pathstoincome.com. Hey everybody, Tom Woods here. I am very glad to welcome Matt McCaw to the program today. He is, I don't know, the key guy, I think, when it comes to this Greater Idaho cause that I wholeheartedly support. The issue will be, is there enough built-in status quo bias to stop people from making a change that would benefit literally everyone involved? So Matt, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, Tom. That is the question, is can we push this forward? We don't have any problems selling our idea. When we put our idea in front of voters, they like the idea. When we ask voters on the other side of the state, do you like this idea? They like this idea. Our issue is going to be, can we get the political will to move this thing forward?
Now, look, obviously, most people listening to this are going to live in neither Oregon nor Idaho. But there's a much larger issue at stake here, which is, number one, as I indicated before, the problem of status quo bias, that people think that the way things are is always the best way for them to be. And you see that, I used to be a college professor, and if you ever asked students on an exam, now I get it, on an exam you want to play it safe, but if you ever asked them, was the American Revolution inevitable? The answer is always yes. Was the French Revolution inevitable? The answer is always yes. Was such and such historical event inevitable? The answer is always yes. Everything turned out exactly the way it was supposed to, according to everybody. And likewise with this, that the borders, these borders are completely arbitrary in some cases. They could just as easily be a few miles either way, one way or the other. But yet people treat them like they're sacred and you can't touch them. But if they have any purpose at all, it's to make our lives more comfortable in one way or another. And if they're not doing that, if all they're doing is creating strife by forcing people together who have radically different worldviews and they're at each other's throats all the time, then just change it. And yet we've got this bias that everything is the way it's supposed to be and it's unthinkable. It's okay for Slovenia to secede from Yugoslavia. We allow that because they're not Americans, but Americans don't ever change anything. That's frustrating.
So I do think though, Tom, I agree with you. I do think we're starting to see that people are starting to see this as an idea. That is still our biggest question is like, is this even possible? But when we ask people, like I said, when we go to a vote, so we put our idea, Greater Idaho, to the vote in nine counties in Eastern Oregon. And in our last six elections, we're winning with vote percentages over 60%. People love this idea. They may personally think, oh, it'll never happen. But when asked, do you want it to happen? They say yes. We've also done polling in Northwest Oregon, on the west side of Oregon, and people over there also are supportive of the idea. 68% of people said that Oregon absolutely should look into the border and what impact that would have on the state.
You know what? Actually, Matt, let me interrupt you. I realized that I set the stage for this episode so badly. We haven't actually laid out exactly what it is you guys are asking for. How about we do that first? I don't mean to assume everybody knows what's going on.
Yeah, I'll start from the top, Tom. So,
all right.
Greater Idaho Movement is a movement that's going county by county in the state of Oregon with the idea of moving the border between Idaho and Oregon because the border where it's at doesn't make any sense. It's not the cultural divide that exists between these two areas. The real cultural divide is the Cascade Mountain Range. The west side of Oregon is very liberal. It has a different climate. It has a different economy, different values than the east side. And the east side of the state is very similar to Idaho. People make their living the same way. They live their lives the same way. They vote the same way. So it makes far more sense to have the border between Idaho and Oregon moved so that Eastern Oregonians can get state-level governance from a state that actually agrees with their value set rather than having laws and policies forced on them from the west side of our state.
Okay, so I think most people presumed that was going on here. Now, there are objections that even some well-meaning people might have to what you're doing. As a matter of fact, I saw one of them that I thought of, listed on your frequently asked questions, which is, well, why don't we people who are suffering here in Oregon, because what's going on, I mean, Oregon is mostly left-wing, and so people who don't agree with that are getting things imposed on that they don't believe in all the time. But yes. Some people say, well, why don't we get our act together, though, and we'll take things over? Why should we? This is a retreat. We should stick with Oregon and just convince everybody that we're right.
So this is not a retreat. This is really a core principle of the United States is self-determination and the ability to have government that you choose. And so all we're asking in Eastern Oregon is that the state governance that we have now currently does not match the values of Eastern Oregonians. And Eastern Oregonians haven't voted for this government. They've been voting one way for 40 years and getting different state level governance than what they've been voting. So all we're doing is saying it makes more sense to get state level governance that we actually want and that actually agrees with our values. And likewise, Tom, you know, this election, we get that a lot. There's going to be a red wave. We're going to change things, you know, but you're going to have attention. Even if there is a red wave, there's going to be a tension just the opposite way. The west side of Oregon is very liberal. In this environment, in this political year, you may get a Republican governor in Oregon for the first time in 40 years, but then you're going to have the same problem going the other direction. Then you've got Oregon's one major population center with state-level governance that they don't want, imposing policies that they don't want. The better solution is to get governance for the two different groups of people that actually matches what those two groups of people want.
Right. Now, the other question that will arise is, are you allowed to do this?
So yes, absolutely. So there is a mechanism for changing state borders. It was never assumed that state borders that were decided 200 years ago would stay that way in perpetuity. That's not the way borders are there. As you mentioned, Tom, they're there to make people's lives better, to group similar people that share culture, share values, that, you know, have a shared sense of what they want their community to look like. That's what borders are for. So you can change a state border. The U.S. Constitution allows for two states to come together and move the border. And all that takes is the two state legislatures to say, you know, this border is no longer working between Oregon and Idaho. So let's propose moving it to here. And if the two state legislatures agree and sign off on it, then it would go to the U.S. Congress and the U.S. Congress signs off on it. You would have a border change just like that. And borders have been changed in the United States. There is precedence for this. Oregon and Washington changed their border not long ago. Historically speaking, 1958, they solidified their border and made some changes along the Columbia River. There absolutely is a process. It can be done. It's just having the political will to get it done.
How about the idea of just moving to Idaho? You know, you could just move to Idaho, then you get what you want.
Well, we're talking about 400,000 people. So there's a lot of things about that idea. And there has been self-sorting going on. You know, coronavirus hit and it seemed like self-sorting really exploded, right? I had friends that left Oregon for Idaho because the coronavirus policies were so much different and it impacted our lives so much. But you shouldn't have to move to get government that represents you. And there are people that live here in Eastern Oregon that have been here for generations. Their families have been here multiple generations. They own, you know, their land. They own lots of land. To ask them to move to a different state because the west side of Oregon keeps imposing policies they don't want is wrong. And you'd be talking about tearing apart communities, tearing apart, you know, people that have heritage in these areas. It's far easier, makes far more sense. And it's the right thing to do to just move the border and get the governance for those 400,000 people they want rather than ask them all to pick up and move.
Well, then another argument is you could just create a new state. Now, of course, we're all, you know, that would be fine. But the problem is what's the most likely solution to be accepted by everybody? And there's an obstacle you have to overcome if you want to create a new state. And that has to do with the U.S. Senate and, you know, whether a blue state is going to favor an approach like that. Can you explain that?
Yes. So part of the reason why when I got involved with this movement, part of the reason the Greater Idaho appealed to me was I'm a lifelong Oregonian, grew up on the east side of the state. I spent 20 years in the Portland metropolitan area. And my entire life, there's been this great divide between the east side of Oregon and the west side of Oregon, the rural side and the urban side. So when I heard about this idea, I thought that is a solution. That is the solution that people in Eastern Oregon have been looking for a very long time. And part of that is just what you talked about, Tom, is that moving a border, even though people, you know, it hasn't happened really to this extent, and there's a lot of moving parts, people are like, oh, it'd be so difficult. It's far easier to move a border than it would be to create a new state. You know, there's a lot of people that'd be all for new states, but if you're going to create a new state, you get two new senators. You got to be ratified by, you know, however many states throughout the United States. It's a much bigger hurdle to create a new state than it is to simply move a border. And we believe that moving borders is not just Oregon that has this problem. It's very common for these urban-rural divides to happen across the country. We could use border relocation as a way to get more people matched to government that they want and that represents them. And it is a long-term solution for the peaceful prosperity of the United States moving forward.
Well, how does Idaho feel about this?
So we have been to Boise and we've had hearing in Boise. We've met with legislators. We have a lot of support in Idaho. There was some polling done of the general public, and the people in Idaho are supportive. The people in Idaho see the benefit of adding all the land mass that would come with these 400,000 people. They see a lot of value in the natural resources. They see a lot of value in having 400,000 extra people that share a culture, values, and are vote similarly to the way they do.
All right. So that's Idaho. But then the real people you need to persuade, or part of them, it would be Oregon itself. Now, it seems to me it might be difficult, but yet not impossible, because you can say, look, let's be honest. You can't stand the sight of us, right? All we do is cause problems for you. All we do is serve as a stumbling block to you. So what if one day you could just be rid of us? That's all you have to do is just consent to it and it's done. I mean, I would almost put it that way.
Well, that would be one argument. One argument that we think is a strong argument is just that. You know, like I had mentioned earlier, if there's a big red wave in Oregon and people are talking about it, and you end up with state-level government that is not the state-level government that the western half of the state voted for or the metropolitan area, you're going to have a tension in the other direction that hasn't existed in Oregon for a long time. It doesn't make sense for these two very different groups of people to try to share a state government, because people in Eastern Oregon see almost every issue differently than people in Western Oregon do, whether that's crime or drugs or abortion or the Second Amendment or taxes or minimum wage. Down the line, almost on every issue, those folks see, you know, people on the east and the west side of Oregon see things differently. So that is one argument. There's a couple other arguments that are going to help us. And I think the strongest one is that people know it's the right thing to do. People in Eastern Oregon feel like they're not heard, that they get things forced on them they don't want. They're not asking for anything from Western Oregon other than just let us go. And people in Western Oregon, when we did our polling back in January, 68% of people said, yes, we understand we should look into this. People understand that when you have a group of people and they're unhappy and they say, you know what, this is not working for us anymore, you need to just let us go. People inherently understand that. You know, I think sometimes for people that are, you know, just enveloped in the politics of the world and everything, they think about everything as in like a political power sense. But your everyday person doesn't think that way. A lot of people, most people on the west side of the state, they understand exactly why people on the east side of the state are not happy, don't feel heard, don't feel respected, don't feel like policies match the way they want to live their lives. And they understand why we want to just change that governance. So the support of the people is the hardest thing to get, and it's also the most important thing to get. And we have that, and we have that on both sides of the mountains. So that's going to be getting those people to mobilize and have their voice heard and get the elected leaders to actually move forward on it. The last thing, Tom, that a lot of people in Oregon don't understand is the west side of Oregon is wealthier than the east side of Oregon. So what ends up happening is that taxes are collected across the state and then they're redistributed back out. The west side of Oregon ends up subsidizing the east side of Oregon to the tune of several hundred dollars per person, just because of that economic disparity between the two sides. So by letting us go, letting us join Idaho, Western Oregon would keep all of that tax money that they're currently sending to Eastern Oregon. They could keep it at home in Western Oregon, and they could spend it on problems that are specific to Western Oregon, like the homeless problem in Portland and some of the big cities. And that would be a boon. Most people don't realize that that subsidy exists. When we asked in our polling, how much money would you be willing to spend to keep Eastern Oregon part of Oregon? Most people said nothing. They didn't even realize they are spending money to keep Eastern Oregon part of Oregon, and they don't want to. Those tax dollars could be better spent at home.
All right, fair enough. Now, I looked at the list of things you need to do, like how this process would work if it really went from idea to execution. And it's quite a few. I suppose you don't have to burden everybody with them all, but roughly what does the process look like? If this were to succeed, what would be the steps that would need to be taken?
Yeah, so ironically, we are going county by county, getting people in each county in Eastern Oregon to vote on this and say, do you want your elected leaders to pursue this? Because we're all about self-determination and matching people's government to their values. We don't want to drag anybody into this who doesn't want to be part of this. So we're going county by county and we're seeing what the popular support for this idea is. And what we've found and what we've proven after winning 9 elections in Eastern Oregon is that people want this. So the next step for us in our process, and we're still getting, we have 2 more counties voting. So Tom, we are trying to move 15 whole counties and 2 partial counties into Idaho. That's our proposal. And so of those 15 full counties, 9 have already passed measures saying they want to explore it. 2 more are voting this November. A 12th would be voting on it in next May. So we've proven that people want this to happen. So the next step is to get the 2 legislatures talking about this. And to that end, we have legislation in Idaho ready to be introduced at our next legislative session, inviting Oregon to start talks about a border change. We have legislation ready to go in Oregon to do the same thing for the next legislative session. So our hope would be that next January, after the election, after we have new legislatures seated, that legislation would get introduced. They would start talking. They would start having hearings. The 2 states would start having hearings about what would this look like. You know, let's start sorting out some of the details. What gets grandfathered in? What doesn't? You know, there'll be plenty of things to talk about, but spend all of 2023 hashing out those details, getting feedback from people, and then have a proposal that we could go back to the people. We would envision, even though the legislatures wouldn't have to, we would envision that after the details are fleshed out by the 2 legislatures, it would kick it back to a vote of the people to see, you know, do you still want to go through with this? Is this still what you want us to do? And by 2024, we could have a vote like that and we could have a border moved.
Before I go on, let me say a quick thing that will help a lot of you, and you know who you are. If you are in business and you're getting buried by your competition online, then build your brand, your reputation, and your lead flow with digital marketing by Persist SEO, our great sponsor. If you're a small local business, you're trying to compete against large companies in the service industry, increase your visibility with Persist SEO. Or if you have low or no leads coming in on a consistent basis, well, website search engine and conversion optimization can help move the needle to a more prosperous business model for you. If you're tired of cold calling, use your website as a lead generation engine. If you're not showing up for your services on the search engines, then get found with Persist SEO's expert search engine optimization. All you have to do is call 770-580-3736 or visit them at ineedseo.help for a free website audit and consultation. That's 770-580-3736 or ineedseo.help. Another reason that this is an important thing for people beyond the states involved is that if it happens, then it demystifies the idea that maybe the United States could look a little different in the future, and that that's okay. There's nothing sacred about the lines drawn within the U.S. These are just utilitarian things. And once a change like this occurs, then maybe even bolder changes now suddenly become thinkable to people. Maybe there are new states that are created. Maybe there are some regions that decide they'd just rather be independent of the rest of us because they can't stand us anymore or something. I think the idea that when you have irreconcilable differences, the best thing is not to just keep on fighting and keep on beating each other up to see who's the last one standing, But instead, the more humane solution is to say, well, how about you live your way and we'll live our way and we'll see how that works.
I couldn't agree more, Tom. And that I do believe strongly that border relocation, we are the furthest along the way. I mean, there's lots of groups that are similar to what we're doing, and there's been groups that have wanted to create new states and things. But what we're doing out here in Oregon, we are down the path and we're making real progress that people can see. And I think you're exactly right. When people see that we can do this and we make this happen, it's time to rethink what states could look like in the United States. And this is a solution to a problem. People are constantly saying, gosh, you know, like there's so much partisanship, there's so much polarization. What are we going to do about it? This is a solution. This is what we can do about it, is that we can change borders, match people to government they want, and that matches their values. And everybody lives peaceably together. And a lot of that political tension goes away because you're not getting policy and law dictated to you by people that have radically different values than you do.
What lessons have you learned in this process so far that you would want to share with people in the rest of the country who may think that this model could work for where they live?
Well, I think the number one lesson that we learned is that go directly to the people. You can sit around, you know, this idea started in 2019. Some folks were sitting around a pizza place and saying, gosh, how could we, you know, this longstanding problem, what could we do? How could we solve it? And this idea came up, and people have these kinds of ideas all the time. But an idea is only as good as whether people will support it or not. And I think one of the genius things about this movement when it started was it said, hey, we think this is a good idea, but what we're really going to do is we're going to go to the people everywhere we can and see if they think it's a good idea. And what that's done is that has given us, you know, the data to then go to like elected leaders and say, look, this is what the people want. This is what they support. And so, you know, you need to help us move this forward now because you're the real decision makers. And Tom, I would say the other lesson that I've learned about that is that there is just that bias you're talking about. You know, change is hard. We kind of get locked into this, you know, you mentioned this earlier, but we get locked into this. Well, we just need to take power back and then we'll be able to force our way on the other side of the state. And so getting our elected leaders to understand that it's not just like a one-on-one battle between the Democrat and Conservative Party. This is really about finding long-term solutions for all the problems that come with the polarization. So getting them on board, and we're getting there and we're making good progress with that. But my advice for people in other parts of the country that want to get something like this started is go directly to the people, get the support of the people. And then once you've got that, that gives you all sorts of momentum and power to move forward.
And get it talked about. There's always going to be some talk radio host you can reach out to talk to you. Get people discussing it. That's got to be key.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think too, you know, Tom, right now, like I said, we're furthest along out here in Oregon. And so we get some headlines. We had a big publicity week. We had a couple stories done on us this last week. But our movement would be so much more powerful if there were multiple movements like this across the United States. If we weren't, you know, the one group that was really pushing this border relocation, if we had border relocation movements going all across the U.S., I think it would be much harder for elected leaders to ignore it, much harder for mainstream media to ignore it. And it would be something that people would start thinking, absolutely, yeah, why can't, you know, why do we in Eastern Washington need to be stuck being ruled by King County on the west side? Or why in Northern California do we have the coastal, you know, cities dominating our politics when that doesn't match our values? If we can get these sorts of movements going all over the country, it could be very powerful.
All right. So if people want to find out more information about this, and again, not necessarily because they live in the affected places, but because I think what you've done, I like the website. It's so organized. The arguments are so convincing and they don't go farther than they need to go. I mean, you're not making wildly radical arguments. You're not, your tone is very measured. It's just the right way to approach it. So I think it's a model for people who might consider this kind of thing to look at themselves. What's the website?
The website is www.greateridaho.org. We are always fundraising. You know, we're a grassroots movement. So if anybody wants to help us move this forward, we are moving to the legislative level next. We've proven through county votes that people want this to happen. So our next step is to get elected leaders on board. And that takes money to hire lobbyists and things like that. So if people want to donate, they can go to greateridaho.org, learn about our movement, donate, buy gear, all that stuff.
All right. So go check it out, greateridaho.org. You can find everything you want to know. Again, not only about this particular case, but you'll really get an understanding of how to do this. Well, I hope, you know, maybe it's not successful this time around. Maybe it takes a little time, as you say, but, you know, it's not going to succeed if you don't try. And the very fact that you're talking this way is healthy for everybody in America, because we're all stuck in this rut where we think the only way to proceed is just to continue to wage a civil war against each other. And maybe this is a way for people to lay down their arms finally and go back to their homes peacefully. So what you're doing is of importance far beyond Idaho and Oregon. So best of luck to you. Thank you very much.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Tom.
And that is our program for today, ladies and gentlemen. I will see you tomorrow.
Become a smarter libertarian in just 30 minutes a day. Visit TomWoods.com to subscribe to the show for free, and we'll see you next time.
Like the sound of the Tom Woods Show? My audio production is provided by Podsworth Media. Check them out at podsworth.com.